Hey, you guys hear me? Start cheering now! Yeah, let's get this over with!
Woof woof! I'm Mike Minotti, and I am a Nintendog.
Hello, I am Jeff Grubb, and I am a Nintendog.
And we are the last of the Nintendogs. This week, they finally gave us that WarioWare inside of our Nintendo jail cell, so we got to play a bit of that. Nintendo switched on the Bluetooth Switch for Switch, and other fun Nintendo things. We're going to be talking about our favorite Game Boy Advance games. Jeff, since I'm mad at you, I think I'm going to put you on the spot, though, even though it's not related. Is Battlefield delayed?
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going to happen, right? Like, at this point, I'm not the only one teasing anymore. But yeah, you put me on the spot there, huh? Yeah, that's probably
what you get.
That's probably what's going to happen.
No courtesy text going to be late, Jeff. That's what you get.
Listen, I'm a busy man, Mike, and I'm busy because in part I was waiting to see if this news was going to come out or not. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure. So you just sitting there? I'm just going to sit here for half an hour. Don't need to tell Mike that I'm going to be late, or he'll figure it out.
I can't see why I would have to tell you. I just can't. I don't understand.
Like, it's a mystery.
Everybody's on my time, Mike.
I've got nothing better to do.
Everyone should just be prepared for.
Get harassed by your own mods.
yeah, listen, I don't know when it's getting delayed to. So if that's happening, there's been a lot of people now reporting this, so that's kind of where I'm coming from now. But some people were saying 2022. I don't know if that's the case. This could be a situation.
I see more people saying not 2022.
Right.
But we'll see. I mean, there's still like, you know, there's still always a risk that everybody's hearing this from like that same person. So who knows? Yes. But it seems like this is happening.
Right. They're probably not hearing it from where I'm hearing it from, but like they could be hearing it from people who like were in our Discord or whatever. So yeah.
Okay. Anyways, Jeff, wow, stop talking about non-Nintendo stuff. This is last of the Nintendogs,
wow.
Baby.
Wow.
Okay. Man, getting off topic here.
Jesus.
All right, what else can we blame Jeff for? Jeff, how come there's no Nintendo Direct yet? What's going on?
I don't know. I'm pretty frustrated, too. I guess, what is it? It's Wednesday. There's a chance they could drop a mini tomorrow without announcing it, right? But I don't know. They just did the Bluetooth thing, so maybe that was... So I don't know. I have no idea.
To be fair, that's something Nintendo would never put in a direct.
Really. They wouldn't put that in a direct.
Yeah, and to be also be fair, you're not on the line for this one. You never were like, there's definitely going to be a direct on some of the thing. Yeah, you're so just so chat knows this isn't actually Jeff's fault. But yeah, I don't know. I'm beginning to give up hope a little bit. We're going to actually get one this week again, unless it's one of those weird mini drops tomorrow. Do they do them on Friday? Is that a thing? I feel like no, but I can't remember.
That's Saturday in Japan, so no. No, they usually would do them at the latest on Thursday. They do them on Thursday. So I guess we'll see.
Let's get into some of the other news for the week here. And yeah, this happened last night. Let's talk about this first. The Switch is now compatible with Bluetooth devices. Mostly like headphones and stuff. Jeff, this is something they could have just done all along.
I guess. I mean, listen, I feel like, that was pretty obvious to me. And yet some part of me felt like they were going to continue to hold it off and just maybe make it part of the OLED Switch. Like, people would turn on the OLED Switch and be like, oh, look, this thing supports Bluetooth. And yet somehow, no, they just flipped. They literally flipped the Switch. And now here we are. I tried it out. It works well. I think they said if you're using a Bluetooth headset, it limits the number of controllers you can then connect to the Switch, which is like, okay, if I'm using headphones, I'm almost never going to be playing with someone else.
Smash Brothers or something.
Exactly. So yeah, that'd be weird. Yeah, like you don't want to talk to the person next to you. Like, yeah, that'd be odd. So that's fine. That's like a total fair trade off there. It's just, I guess. There must be something like maybe they have to license some of the codecs or something like that. But even that seems like that's probably not what it is. But like Microsoft and Sony, I think, don't do this either. I think neither of those systems support Bluetooth headphones, I think, or at least Xbox doesn't. So it's like it's weird that Nintendo in one way is ahead of Xbox in terms of hardware technology. But hey, it was weird. Like I was playing it and I was using it and it was weird to be able to hear my Nintendo Switch games. Because usually I play them in handheld and kind of have the volume turned down a little bit. And that's like how I played it for years now. And so actually being able to use my headphones was cool.
I mean, the only time I really need headphones is when I'm in the on an airplane or something like that, traveling, and like I have these shitty, now gross, like airport like plug-in headphones that I bought the first time I flew with my Switch that I still have in my Switch case just in case, and they're always uncomfortable and I hate them. So yeah, it's nice that I could just use the actual like headphones I'm using for music and everything now. It's like, it's good we have this. It's a little frustrating. It's like, couldn't you have just done this earlier? This didn't seem hard. I don't know. I don't know what went into it. It seems like maybe it wasn't that hard, but whatever. I'm glad we got it. Better than never getting it, huh?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and people are pointing out that Vita had this for a very long time, and yeah, that's definitely a big part of it. You look at something like that that came out so many years ago and that had supported it. But also, that is Sony, and like, of course, they would support like kind of cutting edge technology. Even though Bluetooth at that point probably wasn't cutting edge, and it's definitely not at this point. It's nice that the Switch is finally just coming around, being like, yeah, we could do that. So it's just weird for Nintendo to kind of do an update after so long and realizing the technology is there and just be like, yeah, we could do that for you.
All right, some other news here. We had the NPDs come out for August 2021. Switch was the best-selling console, and it now has been the best-selling console for 33 consecutive months in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good. Now, you know, maybe that would have changed if there was more supply for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. I don't know, but still pretty good there. It's still at an incredible pace, and we have this new model coming out. We got some big games. So probably, like, do you think that's going to change anytime soon? Do you think, like, PlayStation 5 is going to be the best-selling system in November or something? Or do you think maybe Xbox gets a really big boost because of Halo in December?
It's all just going to come down to supply, right? Because those systems are still selling every single box that they put on shelves. So I think that there is a... there's a chance, you know, I know they'll want to have as much supply as possible, but Nintendo will have, you know, a lot of reasons for people to pick up a new Switch as well. The OLED, they're going to be marketing Metroid and stuff. So, I don't know. I think Switch probably still comes out ahead in terms of units sold for this holiday. But by next holiday, that should probably flip because, you know, in the first several years, new consoles only get stronger year over year in terms of how many units they're going to sell. Like, this is not going to be the best year for PlayStation 5 or Xbox sales. That'll be 3-4 years from now even. So as Switch is coming down on the other side of its arc here, we'll probably see PlayStation 5 and even Xbox like regularly outsell the Switch, beginning in 2022, more likely 2023. But, you know, the point is Nintendo could always continue to refresh the line. And if it does that, it could continue to see really strong sales, but then that takes us back to the Switch Pro, and who wants to talk about that? So,
gosh, yeah, right. At least we know that it'll have Bluetooth support, probably.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Confirmed Switch Pro functionality here. some other small things. Mario Kart 8 was at number 6, still at number 6. Like, my God, who doesn't have that game? I guess it's just everybody who buys a Switch gets Mario Kart 6.
Yeah, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Yeah.
There was no Mario Kart 6. That would just be Mario Kart Wii, right? Yeah, that
makes sense. I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, and or DS. I think it's Wii. Yeah, Wii. And then Skyward Sword was at 7. It was number 1 last week, so a bit of a drop, but still in the top 10. So that's doing pretty well now. And, you know, there's multiple series here where they have two games in the like top 10 or top 20. And now you have Breath of the Wild still in there, and you have Skyward Sword. So pretty nice for Mario. Or Nintendo, where Mario lives.
Mario right. Buy another house.
Yes. Okay, so Video Game Chronicle actually had an interview with Hideki Kamiya, the kind of a series creator for Bayonetta over at Platinum. And he told Video Game Chronicle that Platinum is proud of Bayonetta 3 and wants to show it. He said, as much as everyone is clamoring to see it, we are really, really waiting to release it, too. Everyone who's working on the project is, of course, very proud of what we're doing and wants everyone to see what we're doing. So basically, this interview almost makes it frame it like they're ready to show the game. They're maybe even ready to release the game. That can't actually be right. But it sounds like it's further ahead than maybe we think. And it's just kind of waiting on Nintendo to be like, yeah, we can slot in Bayonetta 3 here.
Yeah, it sounds yeah, it just sounds like they are waiting to get the green light to probably show it. I don't think this game is ready. I don't think it's definitely not finished, I would say. And the interview doesn't really necessarily say that explicitly, although a lot of people took that away from it. But
yeah.
Wanting to show it, I think that makes a lot of sense, and it's probably coming down to Nintendo and its marketing and trying to figure out exactly when it wants to slot these games in. And Bayonetta 3 is probably just something that's like, well, we're going to wait until it's closer to release, like we do with a lot of this stuff. And while Platinum might have something to show, Nintendo's probably like, hey, well, you know, we'll show it when it's 2 months out, like when it's 3 months out from release. That's when we'll actually finally put it into something and release a trailer or put something on Twitter. But that said, I mean, if we do have a direct coming up soon, do you think we see it?
I still feel like we see this at the Game Awards, if anything. Because, again, that was announced there. Video Games Awards is a bit prime timey, right? So you can, you know, easily put Bayonetta in there. That would make, I don't know. I see that happening. Like, again, this direct that we're getting, I don't think it's going to be this giant direct. I think it is going to be more of a mini. So, I wouldn't expect them to be like, and finally, we're going to finally show you Bayonetta 3 on that. But we'll see. I mean, Nintendo has done the whole, you know, this game's done, we're just waiting thing before with like Pikmin 3 Deluxe, kind of with Paper Mario, right? Was that another one that was sort of like that?
Yes, it was. Yes. And then Pikmin and stuff.
A few others. Supposedly Metroid Prime trilogy, maybe. But
right.
Yeah, so who knows? All right. But Video Game Chronicle also had the story that Platinum wants to bring Star Fox Zero to Switch, which is one of like the few like big Nintendo Switch exclusives that hasn't come out yet. But Jeff, do you want Star Fox Zero on Switch?
Fuck no. I don't care. I would probably give it another shot if it came to Switch, but it's do you think Nintendo wants to do this? Like,
No, I don't know. No, I'm actually a mild defender of this game. I actually thought it was kind of fun, but it also was like one of the rare games that kind of used all of the Wii U stuff pretty extensively. Like, you have to do some work to make this work without the two screens thing and without all. So, and you know, you can do it, I'm sure. But then you're taking a game that a lot of people already didn't like and kind of getting rid of some of the uniqueness and interesting aspects of it anyway. So, like, this is probably one where it's like, why don't we just make a new Star Fox if we really want to do that? And honestly, if you're going to make a new Star Fox, I'd say, why do that? Make a new F-Zero instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like that. Anything you would like, if you were to put Platinum on this, there would be other stuff that you could actually get them to do that would be worth more money in the end. So I don't know. And there's like even like other Star Fox stuff they could bring forward, which I know wouldn't involve Platinum, but like you would have like Star Fox Adventures from the GameCube, like do a remaster of that or something like that. That could be kind of fun.
Literally just telling Platinum, hey, why don't you use like some of that edge in those assets to like, you know, have a really good first step on doing a nice Star Fox 64 remake again.
Yes.
Which isn't the most exciting thing in the world, but I think more people would want that than Star Fox Zero even.
I agree. I think you're right.
Sonic Colors Ultimate got its first patch. Sega says it's like the first of many. I'm not really sure what this does. I wonder like how much patches are going to help, because patches are going to fix bugs. I wonder if we can eventually get this game to 60 frames per second, because that just seems so important for a Sonic game. Mm-hmm. Especially, 3D platforms in general are kind of rough for me when they're not at 60 frames per second. It's kind of a bummer. Like even Mario Sunshine still, right? People still complain about how that's at 30 frames per second.
Yep.
So I wonder how much work they can do with patches here.
Yeah, I you know, they do need to fix those bugs. They need to fix the weird like stuff that might have been causing seizures and things like that, of course. But you know, hopefully you're right that they get to a point where they're actually improving the performance of this game and turning it into something that was kind of worthy of bringing back in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Why is people booing me in chat? What did I say that was controversial? Was it about that they should make F-Zero instead of Star Fox? I hope not. Yeah, Sandal Dragon talked about Digital Foundry's video on F-Zero, but yeah, that just came out. That's what has me even more upset about F-Zero. And like, we're not getting a new one because it was just showing how incredible F-Zero GX is. And it is. And it's just like, just make that again.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, we need something new. It's like, bitch, do you know how old that game is? Just do that, but newer.
Yep.
That'll be fine. That'll be good. And then also
playing Cruise and Blast, which like man, they just, it's just a fun racing game. I'll talk about it later, but it's like, you could just do one of those, and that is worthy of time right now, I think.
Yeah. Oh, Jeff, you didn't even update the episode number on the YouTube description.
We talked about it. Yes, I did.
Nintendogs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I for one am shocked that Jeff got the wrong episode number down there. Also, that video taught me that F-Zero's name is a play on Formula One, which I'm like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Never knew.
This occurred to me, like, I think I was watching like an F1 movie or something like that. And they're like, they said Formula One. And then there was like, and I was in Formula 3. I'm like, there was a Formula 3, Formula One. And then I was like, oh, F-Zero as in being above Formula One. And it was like, okay, that was like an eye-opening moment for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sweet life of Dio. That's a good name. Sweet life of Dio Brito says an F-Zero GX remaster would or just talking about that. But man, just do that even. Honestly, if you just like remastered F-Zero GX, it would probably still like look as good as any other Switch game.
Yeah, probably.
Ridiculous how far ahead of that thing was. All right. Hey. GameCube had its 20th anniversary yesterday, September 14th. Now, yeah. I don't know, like, maybe this is bad of me, but I'm like, whoa, in Japan it came out. I'm really waiting till that November release to, like, really celebrate, which is weird because I got a Japanese GameCube, actually, because, like, I was a brat who couldn't wait.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited. But even, like, I don't feel it yet. I don't really feel like I need to, like, go out there and really celebrate GameCube yet. Like, to me, I'm waiting for that November drop to happen.
I'm the same way. We'll talk about that because it's like that's what I remember of those games in the United States at that time. And I was aware the GameCube came out early, but it's like, you know, I was ready for Star Wars Rogue Squadron to come out here, and that's what I associate it with. And I associate it with November. I do. So,
And I associate with like the Xbox because those two consoles came out like really close to each other. It was really exciting. It was really interesting. So I was just November. I was about to say November 2001 was a great time, forgetting that it was 2 months after 9/11.
Yeah, it was a real party.
From that, the video games were fantastic.
Oh man, yeah.
More 9/11 jokes. Great.
Great. Wonderful.
WarioWare Get Together is getting a Tetris 99 limited time Grand Prix event. Jeff, you going to check that out?
I always want to, and I never do. I always want to play these whatever they're called, the Grand Prix Maximus events or whatever. And this one like looks really cool, and I love WarioWare, so I'll try, but I'll probably end up forgetting. It's probably how it's going to go.
Fair enough. I'll be honest, I don't care that much, so I probably just won't. I probably would just rather play more WarioWare.
That's fair too, yeah. Which it's been fun, so it's like, I get that, but it's like, I like Tetris 99 a lot, but I think I have that Game Boy theme already, so it's like, I'm just gonna stick to the Game Boy theme.
Like set.
I'm kind of already set.
Does it have a Game Boy Color theme?
It's the same thing, Mike. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. All right. That's it for the news. We have some questions coming up. And then after that, we're going to talk about our favorite Game Boy Advance games, which I know Jeff is excited about. If you want to ask us a question, you can do it in a super chat. If you want to tell us your favorite Game Boy Advance game, you can also do that in a super chat. Jeff, before I get to our community questions, I saw we did get one super chat question. I'll just go ahead and read this one.
Yep.
It's from Blake Merritt. So can you tell us what the delay this week is? And yes, I actually made Jeff say that earlier. He is expecting Battlefield 2042 to be delayed.
Yeah, not a big shocker based on what everyone else is saying, too. So, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. And we'll probably talk about that more on Friday, I imagine. Yeah. It will be awkward are you going to be stressed out if it doesn't happen by Friday? It's one of those things.
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, I think it's probably going to happen by the end of today, I think. So yeah. I guess we'll see.
Well, if you're having a bad day, I'll be sure to throw salt into your wound.
Oh, cool. Sounds good. Thank you, Mike. Good friend.
Nice thing to do for friends is to text them when you're going to be an hour late to something. But yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
We can play that game. All right. Canoeble, question.
Silly.
Are we going to get a direct this month, right? With Silksong, right?
Man,
I tell you what, we might get a direct this month. I don't know about Silksong.
Yeah, you got to get your hopes set in the right order there, man. I mean, just hope for a direct and then be surprised if Silksong was there. We do this every time, Silksong, right?
I'll tell you what, that's another one that might be Game Awards. Because, I mean, we already seen that Keeley loves to get those things that people are like, keep asking about, right? He did it with Elden Ring. I bet he would love to have Silk Song at the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
For its kind of re-debut.
I think you're right. Like, well, I mean, yeah, if Jeff Keighley can convince them of it, like, to come back, I mean, he did it the first time. So, yeah, if especially if it's like early 2022. So, yeah, that could make a lot of sense. And the Game Awards, while a Nintendo Direct is huge, the Nintendo audience is already paying attention to Silk Song. So if you get in the Game Awards, you're probably hitting the Nintendo audience as well as like a few other potential audiences. And that could help really with sales. So, yeah, I would look forward to that as a possibility.
Nick Turbo asks, do you lick the Switch carts? No. What's up, man? We don't have to bring that thing back. I forgot that was a thing, right?
It was a thing, yep.
Like they well, why were people licking them? They had a taste.
Yeah. they coated the parts of it with the metal parts of it with a special chemical that makes it taste really like repugnant. And so people are like, wait, what? I have to try this. Like you tell someone to play this hot and they have to touch it. It's like one of those.
Yes, of course.
They don't want kids swallowing the cards because they're so small. So they coat them in bad taste juice.
I mean, fair. But also, yeah, don't lick anything. That's not food is my good answer to that. Food or significant others. No. All right. Anderson64 asks, are there any good wrestling games for Switch? I mean, that's a good question. I think the answer is no. But
there's WWE 2K19, right? That was 18.
Yeah, those ports have been awful. I forget if that weird like GB wrestling game that they made last year even came out for Switch. It seems like it should have, but I don't even know. And I don't know how much people like that one. No one seemed to talk about it very much. I assume it was fine. But did any of the Fire Pro Wrestling games come out on Switch? Because if they did,
I don't think so.
That's something. Yeah, Retromania Wrestling game just came out a little bit ago. I haven't tried that yet. And it has like a roster of a lot of indie people. So maybe that's good. But again, I haven't played it yet. I can't vouch for it. So yeah, it is on Switch. So I bet that might be your best bet. But again, like you're not going to be playing as like Hulk Hogan. You're going to be playing as the Blue Meanie. In that one, so which is fine. The Road Warriors are there. That's good. Yeah, some random New Japan people. Like, what is that? Zack Sabre Jr. I do like Zack Sabre Jr. a lot.
Wrestling Empire. Donnie Reese.
Wrestling Empire. Okay. Wrestling Empire is great. I haven't heard of that one. So, yeah, we'll see. Ryan's saying hopefully the AEW game comes to Switch. That would be cool. I mean, look, I would love it if they just were like, yeah, here's No Mercy in some way, right? But, like, gosh, that's a licensing nightmare. So that can't happen. All right. Next question. That's a good question, Nicky Anderson. Matt, okay. Is Nintendo really not going to sell Mario Galaxy 2 on Switch? They're just leaving millions in sales on the table. Yeah, I mean, it frustrates me. I really want to play Mario Galaxy 2 on Switch. I've wanted to ever since the compilation came out. That game's great. It's just, it was kind of upsetting when it just wasn't there. And my mindset right now is I'm really excited for my Steam Deck because I'm going to just put Dolphin on there and I'm going to get Mario Galaxy 2 on there and play it on there. And I'm not going to feel bad about it at all.
Yep. I do wonder like how you're going to like you'll do that. But you'll have to, I guess Dolphin has pretty good control mapping. So you just put the motion control on the right stick, I think. Or I guess maybe you could motion
it. There's gyro, right?
You could put it on the gyro. So I wonder how that would work. Huh.
I imagine that it should work pretty well, but I'm hardly an expert in this stuff. I'm not a degenerate thief like you.
All right, of course. Yeah, I could tell you that it might be a little bit challenging, but it's not going to work at like the Wii original, but you'll probably be able to play it just fine.
It is. It's like, why don't they just get that onto the Switch? But it's Nintendo. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Why did we just now get Bluetooth support for the Switch? I don't know. All right. Turbo Sean, how much better... Oh, wait, sorry. I'm jumping ahead here. Benji Bob says, if you had to live in and participate yourselves in one of the Mario sports games, which one would it be and why? Man, I mean, golf seems like the least stressful. Golf seems fun. Seems pleasant. Seems like the least physically exerting. Probably
drinking and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, tennis looks hard. Tennis looks like they're running around a lot and getting really sweaty and gross. I don't know. I mean, what are my other options here? Soccer looks way too hard. It's a team sport, so I'm like just standing around looking kind of bored. The baseball, I love baseball, but like I'd rather watch baseball. I don't really want to play baseball, especially like Mario and them. And it's like, all right, I'm pitching to Donkey Kong. Hope he doesn't send a line drive right to my head and kill me.
Yeah. A hell of a way to go, though.
And plus there's like a nice like players like lounge. There's like, you know, the club when you're golfing. Yeah, golfing, golf seems to be the answer, best answer by far.
For me, it is Super Mario Strikers because one of my life goals has always been, and you know this, Mike, is to do a crotch chop next to Waluigi. And so I would just like, he would start doing it, and I would just go stand next to him and start doing it as well. And everyone would cheer, and it would just be a great memory for everybody involved.
I thought you were going to say because of Princess Daisy's soccer outfit, the one that too hot for Nintendo now, right?
Yeah.
Was it like Miyamoto not happy about the
Daisy? They're like sports shorts, and he's just like,
you can see like indentation of a butt.
Yeah.
Her
butt exists, and Miyamoto's like, well, we can't have that. We can't.
this is way too much. All right. Now, Turbo Sean, for real this time, how much better would Cruisin' Blast be if the theme song was Dragula?
Yes, that's one of the main things that would improve that game, absolutely. I'm still reeling a week later learning that Mike did not know about Dragula.
I had no idea.
Have you gotten to listen to it? Is it your favorite song yet?
No, I didn't listen to it. I bet it's bad, probably.
Well, you know what? You're wrong. Well, okay, listen, it is bad, but it's bad in an awesome way. And it would fit perfectly with Cruisin' Blast.
If you say so, Nick Turbo says, why don't you love me? Because you ruin everything, Nick Turbo. Charles asks, now that we have Bluetooth, what will be next from the wish list? Folders, themes, eShop music, or a surprise? Man, folders seems like it should be pretty easy. but
they had it on the 3DS. Just get the person that did that to like come do it for the Switch now.
Yeah, so my bet will be on folders. But again, like all this stuff seems like why not? A surprise? I don't know. So I bet surprise will be something we don't want, something bad, right? It's like, oh, now when you don't play a game for a week, it automatically gets uninstalled. Like, what? No, don't do that. Something like that.
Yeah, right.
All right. Thank you for those questions, everybody. We are now going to talk about our favorite Game Boy Advance games. Unless anybody wants to say that it's also not its own platform. Are we all okay with that? We're all good here. Game Boy Advance counts.
Of course, the Game Boy Advance.
Okay, good.
Of course.
Just wanted to make sure.
What do you mean? Like, oh, what is that? Oh, of course. Like, get that voice.
I don't know. You guys are ridiculous with the whole Game Boy Color thing. So I don't know where your dummy heads are.
Completely different
hardware. Wow. Okay. All right, then, Jeff. I know this is one of your favorite systems ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll start with you. What is your all-time favorite Game Boy Advance game?
Yeah, I go back and forth on this one a lot. But having just played it again, I think my favorite game is Castlevania Circle of the Moon.
Launch game.
Yes, and this was one of the first, my first Metroidvania games that wasn't a Metroid. And, I did not play Symphony of the Night before this. So getting into it and getting into the leveling system and the discovery and looking around and finding the powers and just kind of getting lost and kind of beating my head up against the wall, it has been... It's been like one of the key markers in my gaming past for like when I look back at like what I want from a game. Circle of the Moon is like right there. It's like, man, I just want that experience again. And so when they started releasing these games like every year for the Game Boy Advance for a couple of years, it was like, yes, thank you. And then when Metroid Zero started coming out, it's like I was so ready for it. Like those were like my most anticipated games of the year every year. And now, not much has changed. Metroid Dread is now my most anticipated game in that same lineage. And I saw Mooch in chat asking about it earlier, saying, hey, you know, any info on that? I mean, they put up a couple good YouTube trailers about it, and I'm still looking forward to it. I would just go watch those. But yeah, the reason I'm looking forward to that is it all goes back to Circle of the Moon just being so much fun at that time and really fitting well with Game Boy Advance, where like I like Symphony of the Night. I just love having these games portable, being able to pull it out of my pocket, eventually getting the Game Boy Advance SP and unfolding that and just playing it in the back of Subway where I worked back then 20 years ago, whatever it was, like literally actually 20 years ago now. And so, yeah, it's up there for me in terms of like some of my top games of all time. And while I am like, I think I like Harmony of Dissonance more than I realize. Like I'm having a lot of fun playing it right now. I'm going to hold that candle for now, Circle of the Moon.
What about? I feel like most people when they talk about the three Castlevania Game Boy Advance games, I think Aria of Sorrow comes up the most. How do you feel about that one?
I think that's actually my number. Like in terms of the Castlevania games, definitely my number two. It's also up there. I think it's just I got really used to Castlevania Circle of the Moon systems, and it's like, this is what I expected this game to be. And so slight changes like wouldn't have meshed with me exactly right at the time. But I definitely love Aria. That's also a fantastic game. It's easily in the top 10 on Game Boy Advance, and maybe also slips into the top 5. And people are going to bring up some of the other games, so I'll save my other stuff for now. But yes. Yeah, it's definitely up there for me.
How mad are you that Iga is like, Circle of the Moon doesn't even count?
It's absurd, because I literally just played it. It's still fantastic, and you could go back to it. And the problem I think he might just be still thinking about the reviews, which were like, it's too dark. It's too dark. Yeah. And like, it's like, okay, well, I played it on a backlit screen now and it's fine. So, yeah.
Are we giving up hope for that that Castlevania Advance collection? Like that listing was forever ago. I still haven't heard about it. I'm like, I'm scared.
I've not given up hope, but yeah, I definitely am like, why won't they just release it? Just release it.
Yeah, I needs it. All right, so for me, I almost feel bad kind of picking a port slash remaster here, but I really liked Final Fantasy VI Advance. Those versions of the SNES Final Fantasy games are fantastic. Like Final Fantasy V Advance is also really, really good. That's still my favorite way to play that. Still my favorite way to play Final Fantasy VI. And honestly, with the pixel remasters, I don't know if I'm going to like those better just because of some of the changes to the art and really the font and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah. But man, so I don't even talk about Final Fantasy III on SNES being one of my favorite games for that system, just because I like this version on Game Boy Advance so much more. It fixes a lot of the bugs. There could be some bad one. It adds this new content. Most importantly, it improves the translation. I think it just makes the story a lot better. And look, it's a Final Fantasy game. There's a lot of text. There's a lot of story. So that helps a lot. I think the downside, like some of the visual stuff, it's a little worse here and there. The audio is worse. But again, like, when I was playing it, I didn't know that. I didn't notice that. When you like go on YouTube and you find a video that plays like the tracks, like one after the other, yeah, you understand. But it never bothered me while I was playing it. And hey, look, I want to have those games portable, so it worked out really well. Yeah, Final Fantasy VI, just one of the best RPGs ever, and I still think that Game Boy Advance version is the best way to play it. And yeah, 5's not too far after it. 5 is really great, especially with that job system. I'm not a big 4 guy, and 4 has some really good ports on other systems. I don't know why 4 gets so much more like port love than 5 and 6 does, but it does. So yeah, I'm going to go Final Fantasy VI Advance. Again, I feel bad because there's so many good original games on there, but that's right. Still the one
that was those games at their best. And you're definitely not the only one who feels that way about those Final Fantasy games on the Game Boy Advance. Like, people still want to go back and play those specifically. I mean, that's something that I think the DS had that Chrono Trigger. The Chrono Trigger remake for DS was, or not remake, but like the remaster for that one. Yeah, it's like that one's the best version of that game. So that's the sort of thing that happens with those games. And if that's how you love it, I get it.
Mm-hmm. So that's us. So you're Circle of the Moon on Final Fantasy VI Advance. We got a lot of answers here from our community. Again, if you didn't get to send us an answer in our special Discord server that is accessible through our patrons and was it Twitch subscribers get in there too? Is that what it is?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So if you can't get an answer in that way, just send us a super chat and we will read your answer live during the show. But let's get through. We got a lot of answers. I think a lot of people really like the Game Boy Advance, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that the people coming into a Nintendogs pot, the last of the Nintendogs happen to like Game Boy Advance. Like, it's the right age for like a bunch of different groups. Like,
right.
Whether you're old or young, Game Boy Advance is probably something you still played.
It's the same thing with the GameCube, right? Like, a lot of people, it seems like a GameCube gets a lot of love now because a lot of people who are like 14 when the GameCube came out, like me, are now like older. And Game Boy Advance was right around that same. Hey, there's a link cable, right? They literally linked.
Yep.
Great. Except the Game Boy Advance was much more successful than the GameCube, so a lot more people even had a Game Boy Advance. All right, so Nick Turbo says his favorite Game Boy Advance game is Fire Emblem The Sacred Stones. This was my first Fire Emblem game, and I played it on my 3DS through the Ambassador program. Got me to really love the series. So I played like the one that was just called Fire Emblem first, and did like that. But yeah, Sacred Stones was really where it was at. That was great. There's still I still like miss the pixel art from that. I remember when the GameCube Fire Emblem came out and how disappointing it was seeing those like kind of, you know, low quality 3D models compared to the amazing pixel art and animation in the Game Boy Advance games, and I just didn't really care for it. The 3D models have caught up now, but there's still something about the way Sacred Stones looks, especially those like attack animations, that really stands out still.
Yep. This is a game that I've played, started a couple times, haven't finished it, but every time I go to it, I'm like, yeah, this is a really solid Fire Emblem game that like still has all the stuff I loved when I really got into the series with Awakening.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Tonsis says his favorite Game Boy Advance game is Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, an absolute joy to play with one of the best secondary villains of all time, Fawful. I like this game a lot too. I know that you really like this game.
I love this game. Yeah,
this could have been your answer. I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yes, and on certain days, it probably could still be my answer. Sometimes, it's so great. The writing's so good. The animation is so incredible. It is when you go from like Super Nintendo to N64, and they go down one path with the 3D, and they're like, okay, this is what Mario looks like in 3D, and it's awesome. Super Mario 64 is fantastic. But I would have been fine if they had just shown me what like the next generation of 2D graphics looks like. And then with Game Boy Advance, they did that, and Mario and Luigi is absolutely the best example. Some great idle animations. They look great in battle. It's like the characters stretch in a way that doesn't look like flash animations or anything like that. It just looks so well done. And then, the writing is legitimately hilarious. Fawful is a great villain, just a great villain. So many great quotes, mustard of my doom and stuff like that. I'll go back and play that game all the time. I'm so glad that they did re-release it on 3DS, even though most people didn't end up playing it because it was kind of a little bit late in that game's life cycle, I think, or that system's life cycle. But there's like a really good version of that game that like exists now, and you can just play it on your 3DS if you need to. And yeah, I just absolutely adore it. And like, I think, continuing the Super Mario RPG combat with the timed battle, it's like, that's still what I want from a turn-based RPG. And that game absolutely nailed it. It was like much better than it was in Super Mario RPG, where it's like you were guessing a lot of times about like when you had to be hitting stuff. Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga made it a lot more clear, a lot more obvious, like when you were supposed to be doing it. And that made it a lot more rewarding.
Schaefer says, my favorite Game Boy Advance game and one of my favorite games of all time is Advance Wars 2. It's easily one of the best tactics strategy games I've ever played. It's got a hell of a great style and great memorable characters. And unlike the first game, you can actually play as them. The campaign rules and the play a match whenever war room is fantastic. It's the best possible form of that game, and it has cool things like impassable pipes, neo tanks, and fun CEO powers, but isn't bogged down by too much nonsense like in Advance Wars Dual Strike for the DS. Also, Sammy's theme is a bop and a top 10 piece of game music. I know you really like the Advance Wars. Is Advance Wars 2, is that the best in the series, Jeff?
Yeah, it probably actually is. Yes. I love the original Advance Wars so much because it's like, that's the one that like, I fell in love with. And then I got more from Advance Wars 2. But I think like if you go for actual just gameplay, that the weird Black Hole Rising one that is Advance Wars 2. The weird, the dark one for DS might actually be the best one in terms of mechanics. There was like, it wasn't Dual Strike, I don't think. It was like the darker one. Maybe it was whatever. But Advance Wars 2 is fantastic. It really does add a ton to that franchise. And this is another series that could easily be my number one game on Game Boy Advance. So many great games, so many great franchises on that system. But this one is in my top three somewhere for sure.
Canoeable says, favorite Game Boy Advance game is Pokemon Mystery Team Red. I was a teenager. I ditched school and played it all night. It was hard, but it makes it so much fun. And the soundtrack is a banger. And it was my Tarantino phase. If I think about Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, I think about Uma Thurman as well. Honorable mentions to Minish Cap and Metroid Fusion. I didn't play this one too, but this is the Mystery Dungeon game. So this is a roguelike. I remember playing the Chocobo Mystery Dungeon, whatever, like way back in the day, having fun with that. I still think that this is like one of the more interesting ideas for a Pokemon spinoff, is doing the Mystery Dungeon route with it.
I have nothing to say about Mystery Dungeon, although Days of Ruin is the Advance Wars game I was trying to.
That's right. Okay. The hard one. Not hard, like difficulty, hard.
Yeah. As in like Vince McMahon would be like, that looks strong. Yeah.
Yes. Benji Pop says, even though I should have picked Mario Tennis as my favorite Game Boy Color game, but forgot, I'm going to stay on the Pokemon train and say my favorite Game Boy Advance game was Pokemon Emerald. Gen 3 gets a bad rap coming from Gen 2 because you lose day-night cycles and people really hate double battles. But Gen 3 also makes so many visual strides from the Game Boy games, and it feels much more immersive, so much so that they went ahead and remade Gen 1. And shout out to Team Aqua and Team Magma, where the villains and plots are different depending on the version of the game. The Battle Frontier deserves love too. While it isn't as big as the Gen 2 post-game, and Battle Frontier and Emerald is a really fun way to just sink endless hours of fun into. Also, Mike, I'd be really curious to know in a YouTube poll if people played Fire Red / Leaf Green or the original Red, Blue, and Yellow as their first experience with Gen 1. I think that'd be an interesting poll, Jeff.
Yeah, let me end this first poll here.
Yes, Castlevania 1. Ooh.
Yeah, so I did with Castlevania 1 asking... basically, just which one's your favorite, and then I put
Game Boy Advance ones.
Yeah, of the Game Boy Advance ones, and we'll get the results here in a second as they pop up. So after 38 votes, 63% said Aria of Sorrow, 28% said Circle of the Moon, and 7% said Harmony of Dissonance. And I think that's kind of what I was expecting.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds about right. So we'll do a poll here now. What was your first experience with Pokemon Gen 1? Was it Red, Blue, and Yellow on Game Boy, or was it Leaf Green and Fire Red on Game Boy Advance? I guess
Or Blue, and then what's the other option?
Fire Red and Leaf Green and Game of Its. Let's put the Let's Go games on Switch as the third option. That's Gen 1 also. What the hell? Let's see. Maybe that's the first time people played Gen 1. I don't know. I don't know if that's the way to do it. Those games were good. I don't know if they can see the full Gen 1 experience, though.
I cannot vote, but for me, it was Red and Blue.
Yeah. I will say, so I liked Ruby and Sapphire. I don't think I liked them as much as Gold and Silver. For some of the reasons Benji Bop was talking about, I didn't really like the duo battles or whatever, the double battles. That was kind of like, that was the beginning of them throwing what I thought were sort of lame gimmicks into the games. And the game felt smaller than Gold and Silver. Gold and Silver was just so big with that post game going back into Kanto. It was pretty hard to beat that. All right. Jimmy DeBra says, I'm throwing a second vote to Sacred Stones. I remember seeing a screenshot from the game and like the instruction book to a different game maybe and thought that looks cool. Well, my mom got it for me for Christmas after I had already forgotten about the game. Had no idea what the game was before jumping in. It was my first turn-based strategy game and still probably my favorite Fire Emblem. The branching class paths, the story split, overworld map, all cool things not common in other games. One of those games that has a special place for me. Glad to see someone else gave it some love. So I think that's our second vote here is for Sacred Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets two Sacred Stones. All right.
Wow.
Arjun, some Game Boy Advance games I think that are worth mentioning are the Lord of the Rings Two Towers and the Return of the King Diablo clones. Easily my most played games on Game Boy Advance. Still play them to this day to pass the time. Only complaint is four save slots for five characters. I also noticed no one has mentioned Metroid Fusion or Zero Mission yet, but I'm sure those will be covered. Man, I forgot about those Lord of the Rings games till he brought them up right now. Yeah. Those are fun.
I played the GameCube ones, so I never played the Game Boy Advance ones, but the GameCube ones were actually also good.
Yeah, the GameCube one and like the other ones that generation were just like basically like kind of beat 'em ups almost, and these really were like top down action RPGs.
That's
like
Diablo. So cool. I did not know that.
They're really neat.
I want to check that out.
I remember they were like they weren't their prettiest games from what I remember, but they were fun. Napper says,
looks like Red and Blue has a big lead, and then Andy in the chat says that Chad is old. Lol.
Well, so. I mean, I'll tell you. Hey, look at your hosts. Yeah, fair enough. Napper says his favorite Game Boy Advance game is Harvest Moon Friends of Mineral Town. I put a lot of hours into this game and still prefer playing it over Stardew Valley. I think I did play the Game Boy Advance one. I may have played the Game Boy Color one. But there were a lot of... For a while there, every Game Boy had a good Harvest Moon game, really. Yep. Yeah, Anderson64 finally brings up one of the ones I was hoping somebody would. Very boring answer, but it's Metroid Fusion for me. The more linear progression didn't bother me all that much, and some of the boss fights are my favorites in the Metroid games. It would be fun and cool if we had Game Boy Advance games on Nintendo Switch. I definitely agree with that. Yeah, Metroid Fusion is awesome. Is great.
I just played this again as well, and it's so good. Mm-hmm. It really holds up.
Yeah, it's man, that was exciting when that came out the same time as Metroid Prime.
Yes.
I remember, like, you know, I don't think I actually beat Super Metroid for the first time until maybe getting to play Metroid Fusion for the first time, really. And then I finally went back and played through, like, finally played through Super Metroid and realized how amazing it was, but still appreciating Metroid Fusion. I like the linear progression thing. It doesn't bother me that much either. I do appreciate Super Metroid's, like, less linear style, but it's not like when I'm playing Metroid Fusion, I get super mad about it.
And it's like, I think my, like, when we talked about this a few weeks ago, my thing was, at the time, I freaked out a little bit because I'm like, I don't want this to be the future of Metroid. But as a branch on, like, if Metroid keeps going in one direction and Metroid Fusion is just a slight variation on that concept and it isn't like the stone set future, it's great. It really works well. It's and then they went back to kind of doing a slightly more traditional Metroid games a little bit. Yeah, and I think Metroid Dread's probably going to be more like Super Metroid than like Metroid Fusion, probably. So it's like, it's totally cool. It's like a sidestep for that franchise. Also, we keep going, but just, I mean, there's a ton more coming from your guys' answers. But I just want to say, man, Game Boy Advance is really good. Like,
it's very good. When you like stop and think about, like, geez,
there's so many games here that have, like, yeah, that could have been my number one. That could have been. It's been like five, like Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, Advance Wars. There's so much.
Like, here's one that could be in my top five. Yami Seth says, my pick for favorite Game Boy Advance game is the Mega Man Zero trilogy. Can't decide between one of them. They're just pure Mega Man joy. Shout out to Mega Man Battle Network. They're, in my opinion, underrated, and I hope we get a collection soon. So having just replayed the Zero games through the collection they released not too long ago, which is fantastic. I think 3 is the best one. That would be my answer. But they're more connected than the other Mega Man series, so it does, like, it like pays off if you actually play them in order. It's actually not even a trilogy. There's 4 of them, when I think about it. Right? Yeah, there's 4 Mega Man Zero games.
I could not. I stopped paying attention at a certain point, so I could not help you with that.
Yeah, there's 4. 3 is the best one, though. They're all very good, but 1's interesting because it's the most non-linear, so it kind of it's different in that way, in a way that's kind of interesting. But I think 0-3 is where it's really refined and super fun, and 4 was also good, but it's not quite there like 3 was. Man, those Battle Network games, I really liked the first one. I played the second one, liked the 2, and then they just kept making them, which, it's Mega Man, of course. There were so many that I kind of eventually was like, it's one thing when you make a zillion 2D platformers that take about 2 hours to beat. When they made like a zillion, like these RPGs, it's like, I don't know if I want to play all of these. I have a friend who just loves the Battle Network games. Still, well, like, he'll still just ask me, like, well, when are they gonna make a new Battle Network? Like, they're not, leave me alone. Like, maybe, like, and he's like, gonna get a collection, kind of like how Yami Seth here is hoping. I'm like, maybe. I mean, they did maybe all the other ones basically at this point. But those are bigger games. It's a little bit more niche. Gosh, my friend even liked that other series they made after it. The it wasn't Battle Network, it was Mega Man Star Transmission or something. I don't know, it was like the same kind of thing. But yeah, also good. All right, Turbo Sean says, my favorite Game Boy Advance game was one of my favorite games of all time, and also the best 2D Metroid game, Metroid Zero Mission. That's right, Mike, I said it. It's better than Super. It comes down to one simple reason, controls. Very this is all controls. Preference, of course, but I've always found Super floaty and somewhat slow compared to the snappy weight and speed of the Game Boy Advance Metroid's movement and weapons. The streamlined controls for the Game Boy Advance's limited buttons also feel more intuitive than those on the SNES. Comparisons aside, Zero Mission is an incredible game in its own right and has always been one of the gold standards of what a remake should be. Modern graphics, sound, and gameplay, but with all the soul of the original. Look, I still like Super best, and I think most people agree with me, so I don't need to defend myself too much. But yes, Zero Mission and Fusion are both fantastic. In fact, Jeff, if you want to end this poll, which I think Red and Blue is winning pretty handily, I think you should let's get it settled once and for all. Fusion or Zero Mission? I'll tell you, Zero Mission is one of those remakes where it's like, I'm glad this exists because you don't really need to play the original Metroid anymore unless you're like a super fan. I say that as someone who actually did finally play through the original and liked it a lot and had fun. But it is nice to know, like, you don't need to do it to get the complete experience anymore. You can play Zero Mission And
this is this counts as canonical. I think it's like,
yes,
you have canonically played the first Metroid game if you play mm-hmm. Metroid Zero Mission. Let's see, what was your first experience with Pokemon Gen 1? Red Blue is 76%, Fire Red, Leaf Green 16%, and Let's Go Pikachu / Eevee 7%. I think the children are just not a watching, Mike. I think that's what that says right there.
I'm pleased about that. That seems about right. I mean, Pokemon Red Blue are pretty big games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you were like 5 when it was alive, you probably played it. So
I'm going to start this other one. I'll say that Metroid Zero Mission, I believe, is like one of the most recent inductees into there's a video game Hall of Fame, and they have like games with perfect controls or perfect like locomotion or whatever. And someone's like, I finally got Metroid Zero Mission in there. So it is definitely recognized as like one of the best controlling sort of games of all time or something like that. It is very good.
I don't really mind that floatiness of Super Metroid. Like, that's part of the fun of it. Like, I don't know. Like, you grok it, right? But, yeah, like, Fusion and Zero Mission both control.
So Super Metroid or Metroid Zero Mission? That's the question?
Yep. Which one was the better? The Game Boy Advance ones. That's an interesting point, though, about, like, it should be a bigger deal that the Game Boy Advance only has two face buttons, right? Because so much of it is Super Nintendo-style games, and that thing had four face. So, like, the thing's missing two face buttons. And I'm sure it's a problem sometimes, but it's never that much of a problem somehow.
Yeah, it's and whenever I'm like looking at the Game Boy Advance,
wait, you put Super Metroid and Zero Mission. No,
what's
Metroid Fusion and Zero Mission? The two Game Boy Advance games, Jeff.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought the people were mad about you saying the Super Metroid's better.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll fix that. All right.
This poll's stupid.
Wow, man.
And also, I don't want to know if people like Zero Mission more than Super Metroid. I'm going to get mad.
Hey, guys, Mikey ain't happy. Ain't nobody happy.
Guys are finally learning what my parents learned all those years ago. Right.
What do you like better? No, wait, is better?
Now I actually have to listen while you're asking me these questions because I assumed it was obvious. And
Metroid Fusion or Metroid Zero Mission?
I said yes, Andy, but I wasn't paying attention because I assumed he had it under control. I know that he asked me if that's the poll I wanted, and I said yes, but it's not, and he should have known. He should have known, damn it.
Oh, okay, there it is. There's the poll. It's going now.
It's a real one. All right, we're good. Yeah. I like it. All right, we'll see. What do you vote for?
That's tough. I think after the most recent playthrough, Fusion, but I guess I should play Zero Mission again, huh?
Yeah, like Zero Mission is the more complete game, and that end stuff is great. But there's something about Fusion's vibe that I like the whole kind of alien space station thing going on there. I think that's really neat. All right, let's go on to another one here from Giggy. Of all the Game Boy Advance games out there, my favorite is the best of all the Metroids, number 4, Fusion. Huh, how timely. I get the complaints of it being too linear and handholdy, but I love the setup and the payoff it delivers. I won't spoil it here, but I'm excited to see where the story goes in Dread. The introduction of the SAX adds amazing tension, and playing this in bed on my SP made for some really spooky times. While Super gets set the standard for the genre, Fusion nails the pacing. It's even more impressive they were able to pull it off on a handheld. If you have one Metroidvania to play, make it this one. Also, shout out to Security Robot Box. Side note, how wild was it that Metroid Prime released on November 17th and Fusion dropped a day later on the 18th? What a feast. Yeah, that was crazy. I have no idea what Security Robot Box is, though, I'll be honest.
I just played that, and I'm also forgetting that. Yeah. Or wait, is Security Robot Box a game, or is that in Metroid Fusion?
In Metroid? I don't know. Security Robot B-O-X. Now I'm Googling it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. It is something to do with Metroid. Yeah. Okay.
Now I remember this. Yes. It's good. Okay.
Okay. That makes. At first, I thought it was a game. I don't know why. I was like, I don't know what that game is. Yeah. I tell you what. It has been a hot second since I played Metroid Fusion. Now I played through it a few times before, though. I would be very excited to play it again. But like, I'm kind of like, I would like to play it officially, maybe. But doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. Jake Bogdanoff says Leaf Green, Circle of the Moon, and Metroid Fusion are all rock stars here, and Tony Hawk 2 was special. Yeah, man, we haven't talked about how surprisingly good the Tony Hawk games were on Game Boy Advance for some reason. But Kirby, Nightmare, and Dreamland deserves a mention. It's gorgeous and really goes above and beyond what it should have been as a remake. Also, that soundtrack slaps. Yeah, Nightmare and Dreamland is great. If you It's a remake of the NES game Kirby's Adventure, which is still one of my favorite Kirby games, one of my favorite NES games. And this basically just kind of gave it more of that Super Nintendo kind of polish to it. So really good stuff there. Stephen Lamb says, here I stand in the Valley of Decision. I look on to see others that have gone to favorite land, even some I knew well, such as Metroid Fusion and Zero Mission, Mega Man Zero and Battle Network series, and Fire Emblem. I look to the group with me, knowing only three of them can journey with me into favorite land. One as the captain and two as his servants. The honorable mentions. The choice is indeed difficult, but I've made up my mind. WarioWare shall be crowned as my favorite Game Boy Advance game, which Grub can tell you all you want to know about it. And his two servants, the honorable mentions, shall be Summon Knight, Swordcraft Story by Atlas, and Gunstar Superheroes, the sequel to the extremely underrated Gunstar Heroes of the Sega Genesis. These three traveled with me to take the rightful places among the citizenry of favorite land. Man, wow, Lamb going nuts. I like it. I like the energy there, Lamb. You love WarioWare.
Oh yeah, WarioWare is fantastic. And it's like when I was looking ahead and I saw this, and then that's when I was like, man, Game Boy Advance is so good, because it's like, you know, Mario Luigi and Metroid and Castlevania. But then it's like also WarioWare as well as Advance Wars. It's like so many franchises that I adore. WarioWare is great. It's you know, the new one's out now. You probably have a pretty good idea of what it is if you're unaware. But just like what it did well was take Nintendo's sort of ability to make stuff so playable and then condense that down into 5-second games that really, you know, really micro games, it's in the title, and then just throw them at you so rapidly that you don't even have time to really register what's going on before, like, well, even as you start to play it. And then as it goes by and you're onto the next one, you're like, wait, I was picking someone's nose, I was like slapping a dog in the face. And it's like, it's just, it feels so good, like, as it like laps over your brain, because it doesn't give you any time to process it, and something about that kind of overwhelms the senses, but then also makes you enjoy it that much more. I adore WarioWare.
Right, yeah. And like, there's been some other good WarioWare games, but there's always something about the first time with that concept, right? Because it was just so kind of out of left field.
It had like a really good manual with like a lot of like, I think there were stickers and stuff, and it was like it was kind of like told a story about Wario, and it was like really thick. It was like, yeah, it was like one of the best like manuals Wario. Ever. Yeah, yeah, thick like Wario. That's right, that booty.
Yeah, yeah. I do not know what Summon Knight Swordcraft Story is, to be honest. Yeah, I have to look into that one. And Gunstar Superheroes is one that I mean to play, because I only discovered Gunstar Heroes a few years ago. I finally played through it.
And oh,
it
wow,
is,
really?
It's, yeah. Oh, and it's awesome. Fantastic. It's, yes. You know, it's a top three Genesis game, probably. Yes. It's insane. It's probably the best run and gun game. It's probably better.
I think it's my favorite Genesis game. Yeah. It's probably my number one.
It's probably better than all the Contras. It's probably better than all the Metal Slugs. It's nuts how good that game is. So, and I know Gunstar Superheroes on Game Advance is supposed to be very good. So I will have to check that out at some point. Pinball Jr. says, my favorite Game Boy Advance game is Yu-Gi-Oh! Dungeon Dice Monsters. It's a strategy game where you use dice that unfold in different patterns. These create paths for you and your opponent's monsters to move. So the more monsters you have, the more paths your opponents have to attack you. It's a complex and satisfying strategy game that I'm surprised nobody has stolen the mechanics from. Jeff, I think me and you were both a little old when the Yu-Gi-Oh! Thing happened, which is, it's funny because, like, I don't know why I sneer at it. It's no different from like something like Pokemon yep. or any other bullshit I liked as a kid. But I'm like, haha, Yu-Gi-Oh! I want to make a joke about that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, I know that there's a trap card and you activate it. That's what I know.
I know you. Yes, I know that. And I know there's like the thing you make with like the five different pieces and they come together to make the big one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure. Voltron. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but something like that. Something like that. There's some kind of big dragon thing. Yeah, I know that my grandpa's deck has no weak cards. So I'm a part of me is almost like, yeah, man, what is like one of the best Yu-Gi-Oh monsters. Games like?
Yeah, it sounds kind of neat with a dice. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting game though, the way he describes it here. I'm actually making a list of stuff that people are mentioning that I haven't played, so I'll add it with alongside Summon Knight and some of the stuff that's mentioned here in the super chats that we'll get to soon.
And then Schaefer says the Golden Sun games are amazing and they should have done more with them as a series / IP. This is one that people always want more of.
I love Golden Sun, actually. It's one of the few RPGs I've actually finished.
I only ever played a little bit of it, and I never went back to this one once I really got into JRPGs, but it's on the to-do list. At least one and two. I feel like three has more of a mixed reception. But three wasn't a Game Boy Advance game, so hey, who cares? I remember being stunned with the kind of presentation of this one with the 2D sprites and the rotating camera and the over the shoulder. I thought it looked really cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got like a dirty pixel look to it too, where the pixels are sort of like floating all over the place a little bit. And I think it turns off. I know like Jeremy Parrish thinks it looks really ugly. He's over at Retronauts. If you don't listen to that podcast, but I love the way it looks. I think it looks so interesting. And it's got good music. It has fun combat and the story's pretty brisk, which I think is what kept me going as someone who typically hadn't liked RPGs. But I love Golden Sun 1. I don't know if I ever beat 2, but I played a lot of it and that's also good. Golden Sun's great. And another one, it's like, yeah, Game Boy Advance. Fantastic system.
All right. That's it from the community. I think we have a few super chat ones you want to get to.
Yeah. Two, actually, that I'm actually surprised didn't get mentioned until now. Let's start here with Ryan, who says, shout out to Minish Cap, which is like, one of the standout Zelda games.
That might be my second pick. I love Minish Cap. I don't know. Gosh, it's so hard with Game Boy Advance. I mean, I like Minish Cap a lot. It's a problem that like a lot of the Zelda games at this era started happening. It's got a slow start. People are talking way too much. But once it gets going, it is super fun. It's pretty brisk. Great dungeons. The sky dungeon in this one is still one of my favorite Zelda dungeons. You get the item there. It's not meant. So you had Rock's Feather and Link's Awakening, and here you get Rock's Cape. So you do the jump, but then you do a glide after it. And it's probably still my favorite non-final like Zelda boss fight, where you have like these two kind of flying like manta rays, and you're jumping between the two in this like over the head 2D Zelda style that boss fight, and you're using like the four sword mechanic to make the clones of yourself and attack the spots the right way. Minish Cap is great. Vaadi is a fantastic villain. I really wish they would bring him back. I think he's really neat, man. Yeah, Minish Cap's fantastic. I love Minish Cap.
That's a game they could just like pretty much port. Just make it like remaster it so that it takes up the full Switch screen. But other than that, just port it basically. Yeah. So yeah, great stuff. Yeah. I actually never beat it. I never beat it. I played through a lot of it, but I never beat it. So it's
Do you get to that sky? Because the sky they're talking about is like the last one or the second last one. It's later. It's so good.
I didn't. I don't think I got to that. So yeah, I
have to get there.
Yes, I'm definitely gonna play that game at some point, whether or not they put it on Switch.
I'm not saying I like it as much as you like Link's Awakening, but I do like this more than I probably like Link's Awakening. I think not by much, but I like. Yeah. I don't know. Minish Cap speaks to me in some way. It might just be the Game Boy Advance-ness of it, to be honest, because like I like that system so much, right?
Right, and it looks great. It looks so good.
Well, because it's not just they didn't just make it look like Link to the Past. They kind of adapted the Wind Waker art style to it, and it has its own look, and it looks
like
really
Mario
nice.
And Luigi. It's like it's the same thing where it's like they took the next gen of 2D visuals and just made a Zelda game. It's very, very good. Here's one from Michael Fahey, who says, Wade Higston's Counterpunch and Astro Boy are Game Boy Advance classics. I've never played Wade Higston's Counterpunch. I'm going to check it out. It looks pretty funky. But Astro Boy, I did play. Another fantastic game. I think it's a Treasure side-scrolling shooter. I think it's from Treasures. I know what the game is, but I think it's from Treasure.
Yes, it is. Developed by Treasure, published by Sega. Yeah, Astro Boy is very good on that.
So in that line of like Gunstar Heroes and stuff, it's so good. It's like the combat is so dynamic and kinetic, and it also has that awesome 2D Game Boy Advance visuals. It's really, really good.
You know what I learned yesterday? Treasure made the Wario World, that 3D Wario
GameCube. That was Treasure. So weird.
That's one that's really on my to-do list is to actually play through that game. Because like everyone seems, because again, like they never, there's certain franchises right? No, those are for 2D. We're not going to turn those into 3D platforms.
Right.
And then like they just kind of like, we made a 3D Wario game on the GameCube. People are like, you did? Oh.
Right. Like no one noticed it when it happened. It was one of those ones that just kind of came and went in the background, you know.
And I'm sure it's because it's probably not amazing, but I bet it's fun. So
This is a little bit off topic. So should we mention anything else from Game Boy Advance and then get this last super chat?
I felt like there was something that I felt like needed a mention here because there are so many. I think I was worried about Minish Cap not getting love.
Right.
And then it did. Sonic Advance 1, I think, was good. The sequel was like, it got a little too fast for me, but also, it was just crazy playing a new 2D Sonic game and playing it on Game Boy Advance. Boktai?
Boktai, yeah.
Oh my god.
A silly one. It's the one where you had the light panel on it on the actual cartridge so it could absorb sunlight from producer Kojima and some of his like cohorts.
Right.
The
probably the big ones are actually Mario Golf Advance Tour and Mario Tennis Advance. Yeah, like those are still my favorite Mario sports games just because the really fun RPG campaigns and mechanics that they had.
Let's see. I had one. Drill Dozer. Drill Dozer was fantastic. It had Rumble, one of the cartridges that had actual Rumble Pack built into it. And you're just a girl with a drill and you would drill through the wall. And it's really fun mechanic, really well done. Wario Land 4, pretty solid.
That's the other one I was thinking of. Wario Land 4.
Yes. F-Zero Maximum Velocity was actually really good.
Mm-hmm. That was a launch game too. That was more fun than the Game Boy Advance Mario Kart game, which was also a launch game. I was like, nah, give me F-Zero. But yeah, man, this library is bonkers. And then you had a lot of ports, like Link to the Past did come out on Game Boy Advance, and it came with the Four Swords thing, so that was a great package. We had the Donkey Kong Country games came out, but they actually didn't look very good. But the Mario games, like you know, at that time later, we were like, oh, this actually isn't as good of a version of Yoshi's Island as the original Super Nintendo, but it was still really neat back then.
Yeah. Ninja 5-0, also a good game. One of those ones that actually sells for a lot of money, but also is actually pretty good. And then what was the last one I wanted to mention? It was around here somewhere. I keep forgetting every time I scroll away from it. Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Right. More
Final Fantasy. I love that game.
Yeah. And this was still pretty early with like the whole like, well, Final Fantasy games are coming out on Nintendo consoles again.
Right. And it was like, I hadn't played many of the Final Fantasy games because I didn't get a PlayStation until late. So it was like, I'll try this. And I was like, oh, wow. I remember people like praising Final Fantasy Tactics and wanting to play that. But then I played Final Fantasy Tactics Advance first and falling in love with that. I really love that game. So, yeah, just an incredible library.
The whole library is so good that it's like I always really like whenever a site does like their best Game Boy Advance games. Because I'm actually curious.
Yeah. To see. And I was going to say, Mike, we don't have to do it now, but maybe after we get through all this stuff, maybe we could start doing some top 10 lists or maybe top 15 or 25.
Yeah, well,
or
hey, like that. We're always going to get through all these systems. We're going to have to keep making episodes, right? Yeah.
Right. So maybe come back around and do something like that.
Maybe before we do that, maybe we should both make efforts to play Mother 3. Maybe we should finally play that translation of it.
Let's definitely do that. I would love that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, that's one of the easiest victories Nintendo can ever have, but they just don't do it. All right. We got a couple non-related to Game Boy Advance super chats if you would like to read those.
Yes, I have it right here. Let's see. From Space Dovahkiin, 1998 was the year I fell in love with video games with Pokemon Red and Metal Gear Solid 1, Love at First Sight. Yeah, it was strong year.
98, I still think that's the best year. So, in the U.S., we got Pokemon. We got Ocarina of Time, Half-Life 1. And Metal Gear Solid, like just, you know, incredibly important games. You had like other games that I love, like Grim Fandango happened that year. I'm sure there's even more I forget about. A ridiculous year in terms of like just absolutely monumental game releases.
Yep. And then Ryan says, I beat Wario World. The pause music hurts me.
I like that pause. I mean, it's funny because it's just Wario going, man, na, 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 which is beautiful. Like, it's awesome. It's perfect.
Oh,
it's
man,
incredible.
I'm going to capture that and use it for the podcast sometime.
We'll there you go. It it's great. Hey, that poll ended, by the way, about Metroid Fusion and Metroid Zero Mission. And after 84 votes, Fusion wins at 65%. Zero Mission wins with 34%. I'm almost surprised it wasn't a little bit closer,
I think Zero Mission is... still pretty beloved, but I think Fusion must just have like it was a new game and maybe more people played it. Mother 3 would be
super chats?
No, I think that's all of them. We got everything right.
So, did you get the part where Brap said,
I did not get Brap. Brap came in and said, salute Jeff and Mike, hit the like button, everyone. Thank you, Brap, for showing up. We always appreciate that. Brap does his own show. I think he might be doing it later today. He does it on Wednesdays or Thursday. I can't remember. All right, Mike. All right. I think that's all for the super chats and all for the Game Boy Advance.
All right. So next week we get to go to another banger of a system with the DS. So we'll start thinking about what your favorite Nintendo DS game is, which if you would have asked me, I was like, I like the DS even better than Game Boy Advance. But just like that right there, I'm like, man, Game Boy Advance is pretty good. I guess we'll see. But man, I have some DS games I also really, really love. DS is weird because I like a lot of the third party stuff on the DS, actually. Yes. So we'll see. Our Nintendo games that we've been playing this week. I actually want to start, Jeff, with Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania because the preview embargo went up while we were recording.
Okay.
So I can actually talk about that in a preview capacity, which I never really quite know what that means. I don't like writing those previews, but I can talk about it.
Yeah.
So I've been playing it. And I was, if you like Super Monkey Ball, I think you absolutely have to get this. And I've been playing it on Switch. It's coming out on other things. And if you were worried about how the Switch version is going to run after the Sonic Colors thing, which I was, and that's why I asked for the Switch code, don't be. This runs very well. It's very smooth. It looks very good. It absolutely just has that Monkey Ball vibe. So, you know, like the it looks how I imagine the GameCube game looks, right? But when I went back to play, I'm like, oh no, this actually looks much better now. The biggest change here is that you're not playing it through with like a life system anymore, right? When you die, you can just keep retrying that level. And that's pretty nice because, I'm old. I don't want to have to replay the 27 levels I already beat.
Right.
Just to get back to the one that I'm going to lose at again anyways. I like being able to brute force it a little bit right now. And brute force it, like, what does that mean? These levels are still very hard, even if you get like 20 tries at it. There are some other modes here, and maybe I haven't tried them yet. Maybe some of them actually do make it so like you have a live system. Like there's like, so like the story mode remixes the levels from Super Monkey Ball 1, 2, and I think that whatever that third one was called. And then there's like a mode I haven't tried. It's like Super Monkey Ball 1 challenge, a Super Monkey Ball 2 challenge. So I saw it's about, I haven't jumped into the mini games that much either yet. I haven't unlocked some of the bonus characters though. I actually like going through it as Tails a lot. I don't know why. I think that's cute and it makes me happy. But I always liked Super Monkey Ball, especially Super Monkey Ball 2 on the GameCube. It's been a while since I played it, and now I'm like, yes, this game is great. This is a lot of fun.
I am ready for more Monkey Ball, and I just looked. I got a code as well, so I'll play it, and we'll talk about it next week. I think the review might be around that time, so we'll see. But yeah, I like the idea of putting Tails in a ball. That's where he belongs, in a prison, prison. That's fine.
I'm still a little mad that they didn't put Echo the Dolphin in a ball. That would have made sense to me, but I get it.
Is there any hope? Is there any hope for Echo in a ball?
There's no hope. Oh, man. I asked them, and they were like, they laughed. I'm like, haha, who knows? And I was like, yeah, that's not happening. I mean, like, Beat from Jet Set Radio was like kind of an slightly more obscure reference, so that was cool, but I think Echo's even on a different... Plus, Echo is a Western thing, right? And this game's being made in Japan. I don't know how much they care about Echo the Dolphin Insignia of Japan. Yeah.
But I'm definitely ready for more Super Monkey Ball. I played a ton of the GameCube one. I don't know if I've touched one since. So, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in the mood for that mechanic. Just the rolling the guys around on the thing. Yeah,
there was like one on some of the portable systems and stuff, but it never just like, it always seemed like lesser than the GameCube versions. And now this is just like, okay,
that's fantastic to hear. I'm very excited.
Right. And then, Jeff, we've both been playing WarioWare. We got our codes, which, I do appreciate getting the codes, even if, it's the day that the game.
We understand. Understand what happened here.
We understand we're still in jail, but,
Yeah. I blame Mike. And sometimes I'm like, man, I'm not going to text him. I'm mad at him.
This was my fault. I am going to cling the bars a bit, though, and make an appeal for Metroid Dread.
I think it's time.
We'll see. We did our lawyers.
All right. We reformed. I'll tell you
what. We've actually done a pretty lengthy amount of time for what the crime was. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Jeff, I actually really like WarioWare Get It Together. I don't know how you feel about it. You probably care more about the series than I do. But this is the most fun I have had with one of these since probably Touched, I feel like.
I'm right there with you. I think it's really well done. I think actually kind of getting WarioWare minigames or microgames in HD is really neat. And they like really updated a lot of the concepts, and it's not just reused assets. They're reusing many of the ideas, but they'll give it a new coat of paint and try something new. And it's like, so it's still really fun to just get these things bursting at you at a really fast pace. But having the different characters with different abilities actually keeps things really fresh. You have to figure out each one and how they would approach this specific thing. Because, I mean, for people who don't know, like this WarioWare game, the twist here here is that, like, if you play as Wario, he can fly around on it with a jetpack and then use his shoulder stomp or whatever, and that's what he can do. And another character is, like, always jumping, but can also throw ninja stars, but in, like, one direction. And so it's like, okay, when you go into this thing, you have to figure out how to use them, and it keeps things, like, on... Right. It keeps you on your toes a lot of the times, and I've really liked it.
And when you're playing, like, the story mode, which is kind of introduces you to all the games and all these characters, it's like, all right, you have to play as this character, and then you can pick two others or three others. And that's fun, but the game really gets fun after you beat that, and you go back to these things, and then there's this mode called All, and that's the way to play, because then it's just all the characters can become playable. And when you start a new minigame, you find out which character you're going to be, and then you have to figure out how to beat the minigame with that character. So it adds this kind of, like, extra frantic layer to it, where it's like, oh, this level might have been easy if I was playing as Ashley, who can just fly wherever and shoot wherever she wants, but I'm playing as the dog who can fly and only shoot to the right or something like that. Or I'm playing as not 9-volt, but is 18-volt, and he just sits still and can shoot discs out and can latch onto objects with them. And you wouldn't want to be that character because it's more difficult, but sometimes you have to be. It's super fun.
Right, and I think it balances that difficulty. Like in chat, Kiminoko says some of the microgames are really hard with some of the characters, and that's true. I would say kind of the point, right? And also, if that is a problem for you, that the punishment is really low, because especially in the story mode, you could just spend 100 tokens that you get, and you have like thousands of them at least at first. Right. You use those to continue from where you left off, and gives you your four hits back.
I probably would never let me do that, though. I have to admit,
me neither. But it's like, but it's there, and it's a totally fair option, and it's like, okay, so sure. It's like, if you want to go that route, you can, and if you felt like you lost that because it was cheap, like you knew what you needed to do, but the character made it more difficult than you wanted it to be, you could just keep continuing. And but it's like, for me, it's like, as someone who's played these games for so long, I'm just like, oh, this is just it's like tickling that right part of my brain where it was always fun to figure out what the microgame wanted from me. Now it's fun to layer on top of that, how do I actually accomplish that with this character? It's a concept that works surprisingly well. I don't think that the story mode is super lengthy. I haven't played any of the two-player
stuff. It's about the length that they always are, right?
Well, yeah, the difference now is like this game's $50 instead of $30 or $40. Right. So I'm not really complaining. It's what I want. I think that I have a lot of fun going back and trying to like get like high scores and all this stuff. I want to see all the variations of the games and stuff, like each game, while different from the next, a lot of times the games themselves are different if you keep playing for longer and longer. So it's the kind of stuff that I'm going to be playing for quite some time, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I guess I am a little surprised that like this didn't at least get an 80 like average or higher. Again, yeah. I don't know why I talk about Metacritic. I talk about, oh, that doesn't really matter, and then I go to it as if it does matter. But I think some people are like, oh, I beat the story mode and that's the game. I do think so much of the game is going back and playing that all mode, and that's really where a lot of the fun happens.
Yes, it's going to be one of those things that I always have on my Switch, and will play all the time. I mean, I do that still with WarioWare and many of the other like WarioWare mega games on the GameCube. When I boot up Dolphin, like half the time I end up just playing that for a little bit. It's it's awesome that it's on the Switch. I hope it does very well. I think it was the number one game in the UK last week, so I think it's going to sell pretty well, and I'm excited for it to like take off and kind of get a new audience and. Hopefully we get more WarioWare in the future, but like I said last week, I think if not, I am very happy with this one.
Yes. And as somebody who loves Ashley's song from, you know, what was that, the first WarioWare, and that happened, there's like another like character song moment thing, and that's it's great. I love
you
it
play as you could play as 9-volt's mom, 5-volt.
Oh,
she's great.
He's the best. She's my favorite character to play.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like a reference to like one of the earliest micro games where like you had to pretend like you were asleep and she was right.
It's a Smash Brothers level too.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's in Smash Brothers now. Yeah, and she's like that shadow demon, and that's her character. It's so good.
It's so good.
That kind of stuff, like delivering for people who've been playing for so long, is they really nailed that stuff. So
yeah. I'm actually a little surprised how much I do like it. I think it's fantastic.
Yes, and we'll probably talk about it a little more next week after I try to exhaust some of the other content there, and I'll probably write a review before the end of this week. So, Mike, before I get to my last game here, we have a super chat from Uriel Delgado, who says, "I sure wish Nintendo would re-release Metroid Prime Trilogy on Wii U. It's 480p upscaled to 720, and my computer isn't powerful enough to emulate without suffering often without stuttering. Often Nintendo." Without starting often. Nintendo, let me give you money. Thank you, Mike. Gotcha. Yeah, it's. I would say part of that is just go play like the GameCube and Wii versions of those games. And if you're going to use Dolphin, do that. That's fine. You don't need to play the trilogy version. Although, if you want the motion controls, I understand. I get that. They're very good. All right. Cruisin' Blast, which is surprisingly fun. It's like,
you know, Jeff, what is this? Because I didn't even know a new cruising game was coming out. Like, what?
What's a new going cruising on here? Game is here. Mike,
wow.
So it's new for like home consoles, but it's actually pretty old for arcades. I think it came out like 5 years ago in the arcade.
For the cruising series, that's like brand spanking new as far as I'm concerned. No, I had no idea.
I think you might have been there before. You know that. That wall drug place that's in like Idaho or something.
Yes, AJ's been there. He told me about it.
So AJ's been there, right. So I was there and they had a Cruisin' Blast machine and I was like, oh man, a new Cruisin', what the hell? And this is a few years ago. It's like 2 years ago. It's when Emmy was still a baby. And I sat down and played a few games. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. So what it is it's a new Cruisin' racing game like Cruisin' USA, Cruisin' Exotica. Cruisin' World, right. And it's definitely it maintains a lot of like the same feel where like you are driving a car, but a lot of it is like it's a spectacle because it's an arcade game first. And so it wants to make you feel like you're doing cool stuff. So when you hit a ramp, you're gonna hit a ramp, and it's not gonna like really care about how you hit the ramp. It's gonna make sure that you get to the other side. Like, you know, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe does that a little bit, where like, you know,
it's more like a Sonic springboard than a ramp.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're gonna make sure that like even if like you come up short, no, you're gonna get on the thing, and it's gonna be just fine. Like you're not gonna ever fall off the course, not really. And so it can feel a little bit like it's on rails, but it does it in a really, really good way. So it always feels like you're in control. It always feels like you're making decisions. When you win, it feels like you actually won. And it's also very, very rubber bandy, where at the beginning, you're going to lose a lot and you're always going to finish in like third or fourth place. But again, it still feels like you were the reason that happened, even though it's totally not. And so it's like nailing a lot of these things that are like difficult to pull off in a game like this. And then the spectacle itself is actually really spectacular. There's like dinosaurs racing across the screen and all kind of like you're flying through a casino and it's just like going by so fast. It's hard to process again. And oh my gosh, she's hitting the high note. That's how I scream like that when I'm playing. One of the smart things they do here is Cruisin' Blast in the arcade had 5 courses. This game also only has 5 courses, but they remix them really well so that when you go back to them, it's like you hardly even recognize them and it feels like you're doing something new. And again, since it's so much about the spectacle that you're like, oh, I'm just here to see what's going to happen as I race through these courses. And so if it's different, that's like a huge reason to want to replay them. I am also enjoying trying to like get in first place on every stage. It is pretty difficult, although as you unlock better vehicles, that becomes a little bit easier. And the vehicle unlocks are incredible. I played a lot of Cruisin' USA, but I never played like a ton and was ever like, I'm going to like play this through to the end or anything like that. So I don't know if the series had this kind of stuff before, but I bet it has. But like one of the first things I unlocked was an Apache helicopter. So I'm like racing through the level as a helicopter, like right there on the ground.
I think the game did have that. That sounds familiar.
And like you can unlock dinosaurs and UFOs and races those. And it's like, as you're going through like the dinosaur stage and you see the dinosaurs racing across, I'm like, I bet I'm going to be able to race as a dinosaur. And so it's very fun when that happens. And it, and then it's also incredibly stupid because it's like one of the things you could do is like double tap R to go up on two wheels to sort of like weave through some obstacles. And so getting like the attack chopper to do that is like, it looks so stupid, but I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun, and it's a budget title. It's not full price. I feel like if you are looking for a fun distraction racing game, this one, you kind of can't do better than this. It's not going to be like, you know, a Forza Horizon or something like that. Nothing like that. It is still at its heart an arcade game. It's just a really good port of an arcade game where it's doing everything you kind of want. And I'm really glad I played it because it's been a lot of fun.
I actually very specifically have a nostalgia right now for like the late 90s arcade games that people don't like romanticize. Like just yesterday, I randomly tweeted out, do the kids know about Hydro Thunder? And a lot of people like, what's that? You know, like that's where my mind is right now. So this, like, yeah, bring me back to going to the ground round with the freaking Cruisin' USA arcade machine that had the Ultra 64 logo on it.
Ultra 64, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Take me back to that place.
Yes, exactly. And this does a good job of capturing that. It's not, it looks like a 5-year-old arcade game that was made to like make money. So it wasn't like, but it's like, that's good. And someone chat's asking, is this published by Nintendo? It's published by Raw Thrills, which is the company that made the arcade game. And I think they developed it as
I'm looking at a video of this now. And I think I had to buy this.
Yeah. It's been an actual blast. So I was a cruising blast. Yes, exactly. I did not have super high hopes for it going in, but I was like, I would like to enjoy this. That's what I want from this.
Here's my question.
I'm very happy with it.
Cruisin' series or the Rush series?
Oh, before this, it was the Rush series. San Francisco Rush was fantastic. I played so much of that game. The stunt course. I played that for hours and hours and hours and hours.
What was the one on Dreamcast? Was it the futuristic Rush game? I loved that.
Was it Rush 2049 or something like that?
It's hard because now I'm like 2042.
I know, same here. I think it's 2049.
But I remember thinking that was fantastic.
That makes sense, right? Because
it's San Francisco, 49, right?
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, good point, yeah. I didn't even think it would connect that. But I was definitely thinking about the Rush games while playing this and be like, man, someone should do that next. Bring those back next. That would be great. I think we need... A larger variety of vehicle-based games. I think people are just like, okay, we're either going to get Gran Turismo and Forza Motorsport, or we're going to get Forza Horizon, and it's going to be like, an open-world driving game. And while it's got some wacky stuff, and it has some like cool scripted things, like racing against a train, and it's scripted so that you're just going to beat it, and that stuff is great. I think there is a space for something like San Francisco Rush to come back.
Arcade racers. I mean, I think everybody's kind of... Like F-Zero, like this.
Yeah.
Everyone was missing it. Even a bit like, you know how much I want a new Ridge Racer. Same kind of vein. Yeah, I think there's going to be a market for that. And, you know, I think these smaller games are going to feel that niche a bit. I think eventually something bigger is going to come.
I think you're right. I think it helps that you go into this knowing its weaknesses. You know what Cruisin' Blast is going into it for the most part.
Right, Cruisin' USA was never a prestige game. We all played it because it was one of those early Nintendo 64 games back when there were so few releases. It's like, well, here's something. I guess we're all going to own this, and then we're all going to buy Turok the next month. Yes. You know, like stuff like that.
Exactly. And it's like, if you know it's coming from the arcade, you know what to expect there. And it's like, okay. So, like, I could list the weaknesses, but they are so obvious. It is stuff like, five courses and all this but the weaknesses play into its strengths. It does feel a little bit on rails at time, but it's just so much fun when you're doing it, you don't care. So
I need to make a new Daytona now. Get all the old tracks in there.
And
the
one thing about this game is its soundtrack is like sort of repugnant in a way that is also sort of attractive. I can't even sing the main theme, but it's not like Cruising USA. It's not that, but it's like some lady singing, and yet Rolling something about it.
It's not
as good as that, but still, there's something about it where I'm like, I don't know. It's sort of butt rocky, sort of like something you would hear in the arcade that is supposed to grab your attention, and you're not even supposed to like necessarily like it. You're supposed to be like, what is that noise? And like
what
look over at it.
Now?
And I kind of also am nostalgic for that stuff. So just a really fun game.
Oh man, now I'm like excited about it.
Now. I know. Yeah, sorry. Like I don't want to build.
And I forgot Wario. I still got some Monkey Ball to play. And I'm like, man, I'm playing all these great kind of pickup and play games with right now with that stuff, and it's fantastic. Especially because I was in that big JRPG craze for a bit, and I kind of like slowed down somewhat awkwardly in the middle of Dragon Quest VIII, so I need to get back to it. But first, I slowed down. I was like, I'm in a beat 'em up craze, and then now I'm in a 3D platform craze. Now I'm in a arcade racing craze. Apparently, excuse me.
No, but it's like I totally get it. Like the games that you could just like pick up and immediately start playing. That's one of the reasons I'm so happy WarioWare came out. I have it on my system. I'm just going to play it at any point and yeah, really enjoy it. But
all right.
I think this game's pretty similar as well.
Let's get out of here then. That was good stuff.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
I'll hit the button. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget, everyone, start thinking about your favorite Nintendo DS games. I think I have to think. I do have mine, but I have some honorable mentions for sure. Hopefully we'll see they all get covered here. You can find more of me at Twitter at Tolkoto, TOLKOTO. Check out the Games Week Decides on Fridays with me and Jeff, and check out 90s Disney, my 90s Disney podcast at 90sDisney.com.
I am Jeff Grubb on Twitter, and I have another podcast, How Games Make Money. You can check that out, twitch.tv/Jeff Grubb. The Patreon. I need to talk about this with you, Mike. Patreon.com/GameMess.
Hey!
It's been updated, so it's not Jeff Grubb anymore. Patreon.com/GameMess. I do believe that means I'll have to start sharing some of that money with Mike, but what can you do? What can you do? At some point, you have to apologize for not texting him, and we'll do that with money. If you want to like ask questions like a bunch of our Discord users did, one of the best ways to do that is to subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/GameMess. It gets you into the industry secrets channel, gets you into podcast producers, and we do take a lot of feedback there. So yeah, thanks everybody.
Bye.
Cruising Blast.